Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 29 of this Daily Study Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we continue our study of this week's Come Follow Me materials, studying in Alma Chapters 5 to 7 in the week of June the 10th to June the 16th. And today we're beginning Alma Chapter 7 where he addresses the people of Gideon according to his own record. So here we find that Alma reaches the people of Gideon, and he is very pleased because, he says that in verse 5, "And I trust according to the Spirit of God, which is in me, that I shall also have joy over you. Nevertheless, I do not desire that my joy over you should come by the cause of so much afflictions and sorrows, which I have had for the brethren of Zarahemla. For behold, my joy cometh over them after waiting through much affliction and sorrow." So he recognizes as he arrives that these people in Gideon are not in the same situation, the same afflictions, the same sorrow as the people in Zarahemla. Yet, in fact, but going back to verse 3, it says, I should find that you were not in this awful dilemma that our brethren were in at Zarahemla. So these people are living much more focused on the Saviour. They are living in a way which means that they are doing the things which they should do. Of course, they're not perfect, a perfect people as such, but they are on the right track. And as such, Alma doesn't kind of just give the same speech that he gave to the people in Zarahemla, although he could have done. I mean, you go around and address a number of cities, you might give the same message, but of course, he adapts his message to the people that he's teaching. And I think that's an important principle here, that we need to always follow the Spirit as to what to say or what to do with certain individuals or groups of people. Minister to the one, as it were. He is ministering to this one city in a different way that he did to the other. And it's a good example about, you know, making sure we always adapt and focus on what the Spirit is teaching us that we need to say and do. And as such, because these people are more where they need to be, you know, in verse 6 he describes what differences there are. He says, "Behold, I trust that you are not in a state of so much unbelief as your brethren. I trust that you are not lifted up in the pride of your hearts. Yea, I trust that you have not set your hearts upon riches and vain things of the world. Yea, I trust that you do not worship idols, for you worship the true and living God, and that you look forward for the remission of your sins with an everlasting faith." So all these things they were doing much better with, and as such Alma is teaching them instead some principles about the Saviour who would come. He gives some prophecies. He shares some of the things that he's learned by the Spirit of prophecy about their Redeemer, which of course is a beautiful message, and it actually gives us some of our most powerful verses about the atonement of Jesus Christ that we have in the Book of Mormon, but I would argue in the standard works that we have. So in verse 7 he begins and says, "For behold, I say unto you, there be many things to come, and behold, there is one thing which is of more importance than they all. For behold, the time is not far distant that the Redeemer liveth and cometh among his people." This is a powerful piece of news. The excitement that this must have caused would have been huge, because they of course have been learning about this Redeemer and how he would sanctify them. I mean, we read all about that in 2 Nephi in the prophecies that Jacob and Nephi referred to. And so the fact that generations later these people who've been waiting for this Redeemer hear that the time is not far off that he will come and live among his people, it must have been a great source of joy. He explains why this is, why the Spirit has said to him to go among the cities to tell people to repent. And then we have in verse 10, "And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who will be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God." This is important for us to understand that, again, we take us taking for granted the knowledge that we have of the Saviour's life and ministry. Of course, we know where he was born, what who he was born by, what he did. But this would have been brand new information to the people in Gideon. So this is, again, an important message for them to have them looking forward even further to the time that the Saviour would come and perform his ministry, his mission for mankind. In verse 11, and this is obviously, well, I'll say this is obviously a well-known verse. It is a well-known verse. It was a scripture mastery previously. And also it's one which we I often turn to kind of talk about the atonement and the blessings of it. It says, "And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, and this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people." Now, this is a beautiful message for me personally. Everything that we can possibly go through which brings us sorrow and suffering in our lives, everything that we experience, we can have addressed and brought upon the Saviour for us. And in fact, not just the people who repent or turn to him, but he will do it for all. And this is just a beautiful message, and one which, whenever I reflect on it, it just brings little tears to my eyes, because he did that for all of his people, for all of God's children. I've got a number of quotes on this, but I'm going to share this one by Stephen Robinson. He said, quote, "All the negative aspects of human existence brought about by the fall, Jesus Christ absorbed into himself. He experienced vicariously in Gethsemane all the private griefs and heartaches, all the physical pains and handicaps, all the emotional burdens and depressions of the human family. He knows the loneliness of those who don't fit in or who aren't handsome or pretty. He knows what it's like to choose up teams and be the last one chosen. He knows the anguish of parents whose children go wrong. He knows the private hell of the abused child or spouse. He knows all these things personally and intimately because he lived them in the Gethsemane experience. Having personally lived a perfect life, he then chose to experience our imperfect lives. In that infinite Gethsemane experience, having personally, he then chose to experience our imperfect lives. In that infinite Gethsemane experience, the meridian of time, the centre of eternity, he lived a billion, bazillion lifetimes of sin, pain, disease, and sorrow. God uses no magic wand to simply weave bad things into non-existence. The sins that he remits by making them his own and suffering them. The pain and heartaches that he relieves by suffering them himself. These things can be shared and absorbed, but they cannot be simply washed or waved away. They must be suffered. Thus we owe him not only for our spiritual cleansing from sin, but for our physical, mental, and emotional healings as well, for he has borne these infirmities for us also. All that the fall put wrong, the Saviour in his atonement puts right. It is all part of his infinite sacrifice, of his infinite gift." Close quote. I absolutely love that quote, because it helps me to understand further how the atonement works, that it isn't just simply a divine being clicking his fingers and removing pain and suffering from us. It had to be dealt with, it had to be felt, and it had to be experienced. And so he brought himself below all things, his condescension, as it were, and as it's described earlier in the Book of Mormon, so that we can then have those things relieved from us, that burden relieved from us and placed upon his shoulders. And he does that because he does it willingly, because of his eternal love for all of God's children. And wow, I mean, that's just a beautiful message for us to consider. We are going to have to stop there, and we'll continue studying those verses tomorrow as we conclude our study for this week. But I just think it's a powerful message to reflect on. Thank you so much for listening, and until we meet again.